We're talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Pork Council. And Roy Lee, let's talk about several things going on right now. Nationally, we're watching several things, including country of origin labeling. The need for repeal is out there. Agriculture groups are calling for that. House has done something about it. We're still waiting on the Senate.
Yeah, and I'm just amazed that the Senate continues to drag its feet here. I don't know how much plainer the language could be from the WTO that our current law is non-compliant, and it's got to be repealed, and it's the only way the WTO is going to keep Canada and Mexico from establishing retaliatory tariffs on goods out of the United States. And it won't just be on meat goods. I mean, this is not going to be – it's going to be bigger than that. And I'll be just absolutely floored if Canada and Mexico don't figure out how to target products from Michigan and Senator Stabenow's area just as a way to say, hey, why are you holding up progress here? And if the Senate thinks that they're not going to do this, they're going to get, you know, it's kind of one of those, are we playing chicken? Because we don't have any cards here. They're holding all the cards. We have nothing to play here. And so if we're just going to twiddle our thumbs until producers have to start paying for the retaliation that's coming – maybe that's what it takes for the Senate to wake up and do something. But otherwise, I mean, the retaliation's coming. Canada's told us. Mexico's told us. As soon as they can get the blessing from WTO to enact the tariffs, they'll go into place immediately. And that's – I think we're somewhere mid-August to late August for that to happen. And so the Senate, you know, typically is gone for August for recess. So they've got 2 weeks left, 2.5 weeks of work left for them to address this. And they don't seem to be in any hurry. I'm not opposed to the idea personally of a voluntary program. We've always had a voluntary program. You could do that today if you wanted to. But we don't need to write it into law. We need to get this law that is non-trade compliant repealed. And then if they want to do something else, we can come back in and have a discussion about what else we might want to do. But this law's got to go away first, or the folks who are on the farm is who's ultimately going to pay for it.
Right. DC issue, a federal issue that's out there that's getting a lot of attention right now is Clean Water Rule, Waters of the U.S., WOTUS. The clock is ticking. It's going to go into effect officially end of August. The lawsuits are coming. National Pork Producers, of course, one of the groups that have stepped up from the industry to sue EPA and the Army Corps. Do you have much hope that we're going to see anything really happen, legally speaking?
Not anytime soon. I mean, these things are the courts are notoriously slow. They take an extended amount of time. I think EPA's goal and wish is to get this in place and get it operating before the courts ever have an opportunity to rule on it. And, you know, the court system says, no, I won't let you file a lawsuit against a rule until we've got an effective date. So even though they announced the rule whatever, however many months ago, you couldn't sue them over the rule until it's actually official, and they've given it a final effective date, which is sometime next month. Now you can file your lawsuit, but by the time you jump through all those hoops, the law is going to be in place and the rule is going to be in place, and we're going to be dealing with the ramifications of that. I think it would be there's been a lot of talk. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court acted last week or week before on the mercury emissions in power plants. And I think it was I read an article, I think out of North Dakota, that said, yeah, you've now invalidated the rule, but it took you 4 years for the U.S. Supreme Court to invalidate the rule. Nobody put an injunction against the rule. We've already had to comply with it. So even though you've told us now the rule's invalid, we've already complied with it. It's already done. And I think that we could be looking at the same kind of thing, and I believe that's what the administration's hoping, is that they get the rule in place, they can get it operating before the courts can ever decide whether they actually had the authority to do it or not. And unless Congress is going to hold up the money to implement it or something along those lines, I don't see how you're going to keep it from going into effect. I'm not saying we shouldn't be challenging it in the courts, and I applaud our Attorney General for representing agriculture, for representing landowners in Oklahoma, for what is a tremendous overreach on the part of EPA. I'm, you know, really proud to be associated with the Barnyard that's come out and said, we're going to be opposed to this, and here's our lawsuit opposing it as well. I'm just not very optimistic that anything's going to happen very soon.
Within the industry, we've got continued realignment JBS has been on kind of a shopping spree looking for anything they can buy almost, it seems like. And they went to Cargill and made them an offer that Cargill decided they couldn't refuse regarding the pork division, which makes JBS a bigger pork player.
Yeah, it does. It's going to move JBS from the fourth largest pork processor, or I guess they were third largest pork processor in the United States. This is going to keep them third, but it's going to make them almost equivalent with second. They almost doubled their daily slaughter capacity by picking up the plants from Cargill. It was very much a surprise, I think, to everyone. Nobody knew. Very, very well kept secret. And the Cargill folks said very plainly, you know, we were really looking to sell our operations, but they came in with an offer that we really had to consider. And when we got done, it was what was best for us and to move on. Lots of new pieces here. There'll be lots of things in this that still have some hurdles to clear, if you will. Department of Justice is going to review it. Anytime you get the number three and number four pork processors in the United States combining, they're going to look at it. And evaluate it. Not likely to be much impact in terms of hog production, because JBS really wasn't engaged in hog production in the United States. So they went from having no sow herd, if you will, no hog production, to acquiring 160,000 head of sows from Cargill. Some of those are here in Oklahoma. The biggest farm of that is out in Texas, where it's the old premium standard facility at Dalhart that they've renovated, and Cargill's now put in sows out there. So it's going to be interesting to see how JBS adjusts to being in the hog business, if you will. They've got experience in vertical integration. They're a majority owner in Pilgrim's Pride, so they know about integration as it relates to the poultry industry. Some of those concepts are the same as, if you will, within pork. But it's going to be it will be an interesting transition. Because we don't know, are they going to retain Cargill's people? Are they going to bring in new folks? How are they going to? How will that shake up the people involved in terms of raising the hogs?
Mid-year, we are seemingly recovered from PEDV in Oklahoma and really across the entire country, which I think is pretty remarkable when you start looking at the hog numbers from this latest report.
You know, we were I just amazed when we sat here a year ago at this time and talked about record high hog prices and record high pork prices, and was there an end in sight? And we really didn't know. We could see that the cases of PED were trending downward, but we thought that was seasonal. We really did not expect to get through a winter without any significant breaks of PED. So it's a credit, I think, to our farms, our farmers, for their increased efforts on biosecurity, their increased efforts to keep the disease off the farm. Mm-hmm. It's probably attributable somewhat to some lingering immunity in our herd, if you will. But as folks start to that risk is always going to be out there. Mm-hmm. We don't have a vaccine that we're treating animals with today to prevent PED in the future. We're trying to do it with biosecurity and trying to do it with proper herd management. But now that we started replacing some of those sows that had some immunity because they had been exposed, we're replacing them with some folks with naive gilts that have never been exposed. What will happen when we get to this winter when we go through that process again? Will we see a rebound and it comes back? It took a year off because of built-up herd immunity, and now that we've replaced some of those sows, we're going to see a new break. I don't think we know that and won't until we get there. But it's amazing to me how quickly the overall production has rebounded. First of all, we ran hog weights much higher last year because we were trying to make up for this for all these lost pigs. Right. And we needed pork on the market, so we'll run weights up. Well, with cheap corn, there's not been a real incentive for the farmers to pull back on those weights. So weights have come down a little bit, but they're still significantly higher than they were 2 years ago. Production today is up from what it was 2 years ago. So, you know, it's kind of – I don't want to compare pig numbers to what we had a year ago because the PED impact was so great, was tremendous. But if you go back 2 years, we got more pigs now than we did 2 years ago. We're feeding them to higher weight, so we've got a significant amount more pork on the market than we had a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, you know, pork is maybe as much as any meat – in the meat case, almost the bargain meat.
Yeah, there are lots of opportunity for folks. If you're the consumer and you're looking to buy quality protein at the best available price, pork is really going to jump to the top of that list. You know, we use ground pork at home all the time, and when you compare it to ground poultry, to ground beef, significant value in the meat case. And if you're making spaghetti sauce or you're making tacos or whatever with it, it's a wonderful substitute and great change of pace for folks at home. If you're making burgers, it's a great substitute and a change of pace for what you're doing at home. If you want to pick up some nice big inch and a half thick chops and grill them like you would a steak, most folks would think it's a great change of pace as long as you don't overcook them. And you can do that extremely cost effectively. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can buy whole boneless pork loins in the supermarket today and you're going to pay $3.50, $3.90 a pound, something like that. You can cut them into your own chops. And if you were looking to do that with a ribeye steak or something else, you'd pay two or three times that amount to buy quality product. So lots of opportunity there for people to put pork into their diet, for people to increase the amount of pork that's in their diet, and do so at a very cost effective level.